Infuse the News. This is a McGill Daily and CKUT collaboration. I'm joined by Ishan Walpola. He is a Master's of Science student studying psychiatry at McGill and is one of the organizers of the Conversations in Consciousness Conference, which is taking place this Monday, October 20th at Thompson House. Hi, Ishan. Thanks for being here.
Hi, Ali. Thanks for having me.
So can you just start by giving us a brief description of the conference?
So what we're really trying to encourage at the conference is a different format. And the format's going to center around conversations on two topics. The first topic will be on animal consciousness and how we should treat animals in light of our notions about animal consciousness. And the second topic will be on the role of first-person experience, such as meditation and phenomenology, in a cognitive science and a science of mind. And what we really want to do is have students engage in dialogue with experts in the field and have the experts in various disciplines. We have experts, a Buddhist monk who was a theoretical physicist prior to becoming a Buddhist monk. We have a cognitive scientist who's a Canada research chair in cognitive science. We have a phenomenologist, Phil Buckley, and we have a religious studies scholar and vegan activist. And so they're really from very different disciplines, and we want to have them engage in dialogue, but also engage students in dialogue about these questions that are interesting and meaningful to students and the experts in their respective fields alike.
And how did you pick the two themes for this year's conference? And can you maybe just expand on those themes a little bit?
Sure. So the themes are really things that the conference organizers, which including me, they're about four other graduate students and undergraduate students who are really heavily involved in the organization of the conference. And these are themes that were interesting to them. And it was largely inspired by actually a class at McGill called Categorization, Communication, and Consciousness that Stephen Harnad, who's going to be our cognitive scientist representative on the panel, organizes at McGill. And so we were interested in the role of first-person experience in a science of consciousness. But Stephen Harnad is also a very active vegan activist. And so he brought a lot of that up in his class. And so we're also interested in how our notions about the role of animal consciousness and the differences or similarities between human and animal consciousness should affect our behavior and the way that we treat animals. So that's kind of how the two themes emerged. They're questions that we were interested in, and we were hoping that other people would be interested in, and that's why we wanted to organize this conference, so that really people could weigh in and raise their opinions or discuss their perspectives with other people who have either similar or very different perspectives, and really just have a forum for dialogue.
In your opinion, how much does the average student think about their own consciousness?
That's a tough question. I've been meditating since I was five, so consciousness is something that I've always been thinking about. And when I came to McGill to do a major in psychology and a minor in neuroscience, I was really inspired by these questions. And my graduate work is really inspired by that too. I'm studying the effects of meditation on the human brain and neurofeedback. So if we can connect conscious experience with brain activity in real time. And so I think about it a lot, but I imagine that it does... It definitely takes up a lot of everybody's time. Maybe not very explicitly, but if you think about it, all our experience is subjective conscious experience. And so I think that by making that explicit, it'll be very interesting, even if people don't spend a lot of time thinking about it, to notice that and then to see what results from it. Maybe behavior changes in terms of how we treat animals or treat other people, or just the time, the way that we spend our day, if we spend it consciously aware rather than just engaged in our habitual patterns of behaving. It's definitely something that I think if people aren't spending time thinking about, that they should, because it's a lot of fun.
And you're also a speaker for the Students in Mind conference, which happened a few weeks ago, and that was sort of a panel discussion on mental health. How do our ideas of consciousness affect our ideas of mental health?
So that's a really good question. The panel I was a part of was on cross-cultural psychiatry and how that relates to mental health. And I think that's a unique perspective in psychiatry. I'm actually part of the social and transcultural division in the graduate program in psychiatry. And their perspective, their approach to consciousness is very different, because they don't think about consciousness necessarily as only being these invariant neurobiological phenomena. If you're depressed, it's not just your serotonin receptors and your serotonin levels. It's also the way that you're engaged in the world, the way that you're embodied and that you enact your world alongside your social relationships and your social world. And so I think that your experience, your human experience that's very unique to each individual is taken very seriously in cross-cultural psychiatry, while today it doesn't seem to be taken very seriously in mainstream psychiatry. So the panel was really about how do we reincorporate subjective experience and first-person methodologies that take the experience of individuals who are in the psychiatric system and who are potentially distressed by their mental lives, and how do we incorporate this in order to make their situations better, that in a way that's meaningful to them rather than a way that's just of clinical significance or scientific statistical significance. So it's really a different approach to mental health, and I'm really glad that the Students in Mind conference decided to take the time to present that to students in the panel that was devoted to cross-cultural psychiatry.
And you mentioned that you've been meditating yourself for quite a long time. How have you found that this has changed your life, and why is it something that you recommend?
Yeah, well, I think that meditation is probably one of the best things that I've ever done, and it's really great in terms of how it's really changed the way that I deal with stress and how I'm able to look for things that make me happy in most situations and be able to just be comfortable in whatever situation that I tend to find myself in. And it's a gradual process, and there are always situations that still irritate me or make me upset, but meditation is always something I can go back to in these situations, and I think it's this incredible tool. But not only in terms of stress and my own personal experience, but the way that I approach science and the study of the human mind and the study of the human brain, I found meditation to be incredibly helpful because it really helps me to inform hypotheses and just ways about thinking that I can investigate in my own subjective experience before having to carry out an empirical, larger scale study with neuroimaging equipment or fancy technology. You can do a lot of investigation on your own, and I think that meditation provides you with a methodology or a tool to be able to do that, which is really cool.
And you're also the meditations coordinator for the McGill Interfaith Program. Can you just explain what that program is?
Yeah, so I just took on this role this year, and the Interfaith Forum is this really cool student group that's affiliated with MORSL, which is the body that deals with the student spiritual life. And it used to be have a little bit more of a religious bent, but they've really opened it up to incorporate all spiritualities and all faiths, and the Interfaith Forum is reflective of this. It's separate from MORSL in that it's a group of students who are encouraging dialogue between other students who have various faiths and various spiritual backgrounds and various interests, both secular and religious in spirituality, and really just encouraging dialogue and conversation and activities where we can share in other people's perspective, practices, beliefs in a really open-minded way.
And how can people get involved with the forum?
So the Interfaith Forum meets every Thursday at the Diocesan Theological College, which is also called University Hall. It's not the residence, it's to the left of the residence, it's the doorway you can go in. But there's a mailing list and I believe a website that you can go to if you type in Interfaith Forum. The acronym is actually IF ? Which is kind of cool, and I think that it encourages this idea about faith really being something that you can question in an open-minded way and that you can experience in various ways.
And finally, if you could just let people know how they can watch or listen to the conference, which is happening this Monday.
Yeah, so the tickets are unfortunately sold out, but one thing that we really wanted to emphasize in the conference is the accessibility to the conference. So if you didn't manage to get a ticket, we want to be able to record this audio and visually. And the website, consciousnessconversations.org, is going to be hosting the audio and video recordings, but also year long, we want to be able to host interesting interviews and articles on this website so that it acts as a forum throughout the year for conversations on consciousness and just ideas and people's thoughts about consciousness. And we want to be able to carry this out throughout the year. The conference itself was really the fact that it came to be was contributed to by Lola Rosa, who sponsored all the vegan lunches for the conference. And so we're going to be able to, in partnership with them, promote a lot more about vegan ethics and animal consciousness throughout this year. But every year we want to be able to talk about themes, two different themes that are interesting, and that are interesting to people who will be organizing the conference, and hopefully to everybody who will be attending the conference. And following the conference each year, the website will act as this forum for more information about these themes on consciousness.
So again, for more information on how you can watch or listen to the conference, go to consciousnessconversations.org. There will also be a conversation right after the conference at 5 p.m. about women and gender equality in Buddhism. So for more information on that, go to the website as well. Ishan, thanks so much for being here.
Yeah, thanks, Ellie.